Na 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 na. Hey, gotta love that podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey, yeah, I love that podcast show. Oh, BS and beer is the place to go to get all the Saints news. Hell yeah, podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey, gotta love that podcast show. Na na.
Now, recording live, it's the BS and Beer Podcast crew with your host, David Romero.
Welcome in another week, another edition. It's the BS and Beer Podcast crew recording live, wall-to-wall New Orleans Saints talk from the studios at Mead House. With me today, Heath Elson-Son, Wesley Coleman, and we have the big man, Craig Wright, with us again today. So grab a drink, sit back, and relax, because for the next hour or so, we're going to be doing New Orleans Saints football, BS and Beer style.
Hey, folks. All right, listen. I'm so not in the mood for you guys. You're blabbering on and on, okay? And it's enough, all right? It's enough. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, today's Monday, all right? So stop doing your stupid radio thing. And if you want to pick up where you left off tomorrow, at least it'll be Tuesday, all right? So just keep it down. Actually, don't keep it anything. Just stop, okay? Just stop doing what you're doing.
Fellas, I want to talk about something that was so interesting. And I was going to prepare myself for something that was interesting because I don't think the Saints game qualified as that. But anyway, the Saints, I'm going to start this off by saying I literally on Sunday didn't know how I was going to present this show. And I had to reconcile it. And I think I've come up with at least what I feel is this isn't the New Orleans Saints. So when we sit here, or at least I will sit here and tell you about the problems we have, things we need to correct, the New Orleans Saints, at least the 2021 version, consists of Jameis Winston and running backs like Kamara. You know, receivers like Thomas, who we expected back at week six, offensive linemen like Armstead and Ramchek and Pete. And that's just simply not the team we have anymore. So the point is that I know it's going to be difficult for a lot of Saints fans to sit and listen to a lot of the criticism. But what we're fielding right now is a JV version of the New Orleans Saints. And quite frankly, I can sit here and tell you all the things that we need. I feel like the Saints, the team that I mentioned before with, you know, the Winston and the Ramchek and those guys, I feel like we're a few pieces away from being a solid offense and we'd need some depth. But the team that we are fielding right now, quite frankly, we're going to play a little game later in the show and it's kind of playing off of what the Dome Patrol guys talked about. And we have a 2.5 game over and under of how many games you expect the Saints to win the rest of the season. So start thinking about that. And first, I'm going to start with Wesley. Wesley, the offense that the Saints are fielding, how do you win a football game with that type of offense?
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be a tough ask. I mean, if Jameis was healthy or whatever quarterback we want to talk about is healthy, putting them in this situation with, I mean, you've got Eric McCoy as a starting offensive lineman and then Cesar Ruiz, who hasn't been great this year, and then three backups who are backups for a reason. Protecting Trevor Siemian and he's throwing to, I mean, Adam Trautman and Traquan Smith were by far
probably
his
two
best receivers.
Yeah.
And I mean,
and Troutman's caught more hell than anybody else.
I think that we've had some sort of levity here on this show, but I mean, Trevor Siemian the last couple of weeks has played the best that Trevor Siemian's probably played in back-to-back games. Maybe ever, definitely in the last 4 years, because he hasn't played in 4 years. us expecting Drew Brees in prime Drew Brees to have led us through this game the way it was and the way the Eagles attacked us and the way the defense was tired and with this crew would have been unrealistic. Expecting Trevor Siemian to do it, I mean, the fact that the game got even remotely interesting in the last couple of minutes is shocking.
Heath, I see you back there. You have like this snicker on your face and I'm kind of anxious to hear what you have to say.
That's a Milky Way, Dave. There's no peanuts in there.
Beat me to it. Yeah, I oh God. How you the question you posed was how what did you say? How do you create offense with this team?
I said it all week, Heath. I mean, I'm not trying to pat myself on the back. No one wants to hear the negativity. I realize this is a Saints show, the fans that listen to the show, and that's why I kind of started off with we're going to be negative. But at the end of the day, we're not. We're talking about a second half preseason game offense that we're somehow trying to win games with. Yeah. How are you going to do it?
Yeah, I mean, coming into this season, we were optimistic. We, you know, most of us thought the Saints could win at least 10. Some of us even said 11 or whatever and sure. be a playoff team, right? And we needed some things for that to happen to even get to that point. We needed Jameis Winston to be good Jameis, right? We didn't need him. We need him not to be 30 turnover Jameis. We needed Michael Thomas to come back. We needed Ruiz to take a step forward at guard this year. And you know, all these different things we needed to happen. Well, we don't even have those things right now. Michael Thomas didn't come back. We don't even have our kicker. Jameis Winston's gotten hurt. Ruiz hasn't taken a step forward. He's probably taken a step back, if anything, you know, and on and on and on and on.
No Kamara. We didn't even mention that.
Yeah.
No Kamara in this game.
Yeah, without Kamara. And then, you know, you put in a backup tackle, and now that tackle we find out today is hurt, and we're not even going to have him anymore.
Yeah, Young is going to have surgery on his foot.
Yeah, so, you know, right now, anybody who's still, you know, pulling the hair out of their head over what are the Saints? Look, it's time to accept it. This is not a team that's going anywhere this year, okay? We tried. Didn't work out. Look, I mean, we've been hurt in the past, right? We had many seasons there where we led the league in missed games by starters multiple years. And I think this exceeds that by far. Like, I don't know if I've ever heard of another team being this injured and having this many missing players and this many different starting combinations on the line and on and on and on. So, you know, it may sound negative. What it really is right now, this is a time when negativity and realism equal. And it's just a matter of where we are. And you know, this is a mulligan year or whatever you want to call it. You know.
Now, Craig, I've had some debates and some arguments and disagreements. It almost makes me sound like I'm just a huge Trevor Siemian fan. The fact of the matter is, Trevor Siemian is what he is. He seems to me to be a very solid backup quarterback, but he's a guy that without other players around him to elevate his game, without some receivers, and in this game in particular, no offensive line, that it's just a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what I can add that you guys haven't said. I mean, we've probably had this many missing starters over the course of a season before.
Have we?
But I can't imagine they all happened at once.
Like right. Okay. Good so, point. Good point.
Like we just been late, like looking at the lineup last week and then looking at the injury report this week and seeing what we're going to roll out on Thursday. It's man, I can't remember the last time. And it, you know, I'm the biggest optimist, you know, out here now that, you know, Tomas is missing, but it's ridiculous, man. You want to say, how do you score with this offense? Well, you get lucky. You hit on a deep ball or you break a big run or something, but all your running backs are hurt and your deep ball receiver is 5'6" and your quarterback can't throw it that far. And your kick returner guy either fumbles or is going to get hurt if he keeps bringing the ball out. It's tough. It's a tough spot right now.
Now, Wesley, Craig alluded to the injury report that came out on Monday and then again today on Tuesday. Do you have that in front of you? You want to elaborate on that?
You ask me if I have it in front of me?
Yeah, okay. You're just always the guy with the information, man, so I just go to you.
Well, it's Adam Trautman and Landon Young both got placed on injured reserve. Landon Young, I know they've announced, was going to be out the rest of the season. Trautman, this is at least 3 weeks. But you've got no Kamara practice, did not practice. Alvin Kamara, Ryan Ramczyk, Marcus Davenport, Passignon, and Mark Ingram.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, though, you didn't even mention Mark Ingram.
And Teron Armstead was limited.
Limited. Now, that's the one saving grace is Young. The rookie six-round draft pick out of Kentucky gets his first start. Honestly, I didn't even rewatch the game. So I know I saw pressure coming from all over the place. I don't know who to blame. I just didn't rewatch it. So whether he had a good first day or a good first start, I mean, or not. But the one saving grace is we might get Armstead back.
Ty Montgomery was full participant in practice today, too, though. So
his hand going sideways
after nearly having his finger ripped off.
I got a splinter one time and I wouldn't play catch with my kids in the yard.
This is how bad it's getting, dude. Finger hanging off. We got to have you.
You got to go. Tape it up. Hey,
at least we know the rookie's tough. Apparently he played at least another half a game after the foot injury occurred and all of that.
Even with the Kamara and Ramchek, the worst news today is the Saints re-signed Ken Crawley.
I said in a text message, I'm like, you know, it's bad when if you just give me a week or two, if they re-sign White, I will.
He re-signed today.
Did
Kevin
he?
White, Kevin White okay. re-signed today.
Give yeah. me another week. Tackle?
No. He's
give me another week, and I will convince myself that if they just find the right role for him, he can be a productive member.
Best
of the team.
News of the day: Kevin White has been re-signed by the Saints.
And that's, all the talk that we're talking about how banged up the offensive line is. The way that we played that, our play calling in that game kind of protected it. We didn't allow any sacks, and we averaged 5 yards per carry. You know, that doesn't sound great, but it's when they know you can't pass protect and you're going to have to run the ball, that's solid. I mean, we got 109 yards on the ground, 22 carries. Ingram had 88 rushing. I mean, we were able to run the ball until we fell behind by too bad. It's I don't mean to dwell on all the negatives, but it's
actually
the O-line wasn't necessarily a negative.
Craig, I actually looked at that as a positive. With that offensive line, I didn't realize that we averaged 5 yards a pop.
Yeah, 5 yards a carry. Here's where the negative was, is that the play calling, while protected, you know, from no sacks allowed, like I said, we only had 5.3 yards per attempt passing, right, which means that we're not taking a shit. We're not connecting anything downfield. Everything is, you know, line of scrimmage, a little bit beyond, you know, 40 passes is a lot of passes for your essentially third string quarterback.
Well, he ended up 22 of 40, which, I mean, is barely over 50%. But, like, you look at 22 of 40, and you're like, well, that's not – I mean, he started off 6 of 20. Like, and a lot of that 22 at the end came when they were playing a prevent defense. And, again, I know we brought this up a few weeks in a row, and Trevor Siemian can't pick which defense the other team's playing against. But we get behind by enough, and a lot of people can complete passes. Again, the final numbers don't look as terrible as the first half was insanely bad.
You could say the same thing about the score, because at any point did that game feel like it was close or that we had a shot at it? I mean, you know, but there is a formula.
At kickoff.
Maybe. There is a formula. There's a path that I see here, is that after this JV team gets their butt whooped most of the game, if you don't throw a pick six, if you don't fumble the ball and they get the ball back in scoring territory, you have a shot that in the fourth quarter, if somehow or another they decide to, you know, you have to find that fine line between the defense goes into like a, you know, protect the lead kind of defense and the offense being able to make some plays and score a couple. Because, you know, listen, it's three games in a row, and I don't think there's any denying that they struggle to move the ball. But when the defense plays a little soft, I mean, at the same time, I've seen teams not be able to do that. So, I don't know. Do you give the guy some credit or not? And I tend to – I'm not necessarily giving Trevor Siemian credit, but I'm also not blaming him for a lot, because at the end of the day, I don't know who could be successful with the lineup that we're fielding right now. So let's talk about a couple of positive things. Wesley, you have something to throw on that?
I was going
to
say, the one thing that I'll add, and I mean, if we would have gotten – if Trevor Siemian probably would have had more of what the Jameis Winston talk, which Jameis Winston earlier this year completed about 50% of his passes in a game, and – but he didn't throw it to the other team.
Right.
You take this game back, they scored 14 points off of two interceptions. One return for a touchdown, and the other was a 39-yard drive because of where you know, the start. If you make him 20 of 40 with no interceptions, there's 14 point swing right there. What I think that's super important of, yes, he didn't take any sacks. Maybe he should have taken a few sacks instead of tossing the ball too fast. And if we would have had that little, I know that Jameis got it beaten into his head for 2 years of all you do is throw interceptions, so don't do it. And so he took some sacks this year and he threw some balls away. This game, the interceptions are huge. You take away two interceptions and it takes away 14 points.
I agree with that to a degree. But I just don't know if I'll buy into the logic that if he just doesn't throw those interceptions, yeah, the pick six. But first of all, I believe that Siemian, the best way I've come to describe it is we've seen the best version of Trevor
for sure
this whole season.
Against the Titans was amazing. Right.
And So,
and we lost.
Can we expect him not to throw interceptions? And no. I'm not saying you're saying that. So my point is, it's like, if he didn't throw those interceptions, he wouldn't be Trevor Siemian, if that's fair. So my point is, I think that we've seen not just the best version, but that's his first interceptions came in this game. So essentially three games, he's played outstanding football. Now, okay, listen, we could talk about he's not Drew Brees and his placement of the ball and precision and hits are, but the thing is, the guy has been good enough to keep us in games. And I just don't know if we could expect that from him. But I do get your point. I just don't know if I buy into the logic. Because here's the other thing. I don't believe that. I wonder if the Eagles could have just kept scoring at will had they not turned it off and said, let's just bleed this clock. But let me move forward here and talk about a couple of positive things, because I got to tell you, and I'm going to start off with Heath here. Your favorite player, Marcus Williams, outstanding game. I just want to see you gloat about him a little bit. Tell us about how you knew this.
I mean, all these years I've been telling y'all that this guy, you know,
had a great game.
He did. He had a great game.
Three pass defense for a safety doesn't ever happen.
Yeah. He was one of the few bright spots. Him, Gillikin, you know,
Gillikin every week.
A few really bright spots. But yeah, Marcus Williams had a great game. Now, that said, I'm still not ready to sign him up to some ludicrous contract, you know, at least not yet. But
okay, so let me ask you, what does it take, Heath? Because, I mean, you know, he's played well.
It consistently.
I'm not saying I disagree with you.
Yeah, it would take that on a more consistent. Now, look, he had a great game yesterday, so I'm not saying he has to do that every single week.
Right.
But there's too many games when Marcus Williams is basically missing in action, dude. There's too many plays when they go down the field and he's not even in the picture, much less, okay? And so, look, y'all like to tease me about Marcus Williams, and rightfully so. I don't think Marcus Williams is terrible. I don't think Marcus Williams shouldn't even not be a starting safety on the Saints football team. What I'm saying is Marcus Williams does not need to be one of the top three paid safeties in the league, in my opinion. That's all I've ever really said about Marcus Williams. I don't see him as a top three or five safety pay-wise in the league.
Okay, so
if he did stuff like this on a more consistent basis, it'd be a different story, because he has the ability. That's clear. The problem is he just doesn't do it on a consistent basis.
So if I point out that next season, apparently, and I didn't see this myself, I just heard it, and so I saw it on the internet, so it's obviously true, is Pete is our highest paid payer. So based on that, do you think that you got any leeway there? Andres Pete's going to be our highest paid payer player next year.
Well, no, we knew it was a mistake. Look, here's what's going to happen. The Saints are going to wind up in the same position. Marcus Williams is going to wind up getting the money from the Saints, because who else are they going to put there, right? What are the chances that they're going to replace him with somebody good enough? And it was the same situation with Pete. They were between a rock and a hard place at guard, and they had to give Pete the money. Right. Had things gone a little bit differently, I don't think the Saints would have assigned Pete to that kind of money.
It's like, if you don't pay Williams, you're wasting a first round pick on whatever Alabama safety is coming out.
Craig, now that we've given Heath some a hard time, let's talk about Davenport and his big game. Now, I think it was Wesley who pointed out that, because, you know, it's a big deal with him and OT Hex over in Cincinnati. But Davenport sacks per game right there, man. Tell us more about how much you're impressed by Davenport.
I know this sounds like a joke, and trying to get a rise out of me right here. I'm very impressed by Davenport. He's playing excellent against the run, stuff that doesn't jump out off the stat sheet. I mean, he ragdolls offensive linemen about once a drive. It's just ridiculous at what he's doing to these guys. You know, and if he finished those plays with sacks, we'd be talking about Pro Bowls. But he's not on the field every week, and he doesn't. So that's why you're going to be stuck defending him until, you know, he retires in 2 years from some kind of chronic injury. But now he's playing great. He's playing great. He contributes to the secondary. You know, as every time that he doesn't get a sack, but he makes him throw the ball quicker, that's a benefit.
Well, good thing in this game, he had the 1.5 sacks and 4 quarterback hits. He also had 10 tackles, six solo tackles, but 10 tackles. And just while we're on that weird kind of thing, Troutman and Alex Arma, our fullback, had the same amount of tackles as DeMario Davis in this game.
That's insane. Ooh. One. Wow. Davis has one tackle this game.
And it's strange with, it's DeMario Davis is one of the best in the game. I haven't seen a game like this from him in a long time where he just did not exist.
You think being in the middle, you don't get more than one by accident.
Yeah, just
you get tripped on twice, you know?
Right. Now, Craig, you're the resident big man. The trenches is where you live.
You know, I had a low carb lunch. Thank you very much.
Oh, me too. Over at Burger King, I got the number 12. Yeah,
that's the glass toothpick.
A glass of water toothpick meal. Let's see. We have to talk a little bit more. Last year against the Eagles, the Saints gave up 246 yards, if memory serves me, because, you know, I've memorized that kind of stuff. And 242 yards this year. Now, I spoke about it last week. The Saints have a type at defensive end. It's why they're so good against the run, because they don't have light defensive ends. They have defensive tackles that are beefy, obviously. Then you have beefy defensive ends. But these 285-pound defensive ends do not change direction the same way a 265-pound defensive end does. Can that be the reason why we simply, because this wasn't just last year, I recall some runs that they broke off just, you know, straight. This, it was everything. I mean, it was like we were hemorrhaging everywhere.
So it looked like every time they touched the ball, they ran for 20 yards, right? 4.8 per attempt. They rushed for less yards per attempt than we did.
Insane. You guys but are bringing.
They had 12 first downs on third, 12 of 21, and it would break a big run every time it was third down.
I want to take a vote. Who knew that? Who would even have thought that was possible? The Saints had more yards per carry than Philadelphia. No hands. Okay. Just me.
I did it three times because I figured my math had to be wrong, because it made no sense that somehow they were only averaging less than five a carry, but
which team had more meaningful carries?
Oh yeah. Well, that's not the point.
At the end of the day, that's the yards per carry, you know, that's saying you don't win games on how many yards you gain. Right, it's points.
Right.
I mean, you can say that, but it's not like they took a bunch of kneel downs either. You know, if you hand the ball off in the backfield and you're still running behind your offensive line, it's not like he's falling down after one carry.
No. I'm just saying it was the same thing as last year. It's mostly the runs by Hurts that really killed us. You know, when he broke Granderson's ankles there and his knees and his back and everything else, it was those plays that were meaningful. The 5 yards per carry between the 20s.
That's a good point, though. When you say meaningful carries. You know, a lot of stuff on, you know, we stopped him for a yard on first down. Oh, all right, we stopped him for 3 yards on second down. Oh, he got to the edge and ran for 12. You know, that doesn't average out to a heck of a lot per carry, but it's meaningful. It's first downs. It's third down conversion. 57% on third down for them is just too high.
I saw and heard the guys on Dome Patrol talking about that we basically – I think somebody did their picks and they wanted to go 14 and they realized that the only way they can go is 12. So have we essentially eliminated the extra point and field goal from our offensive arsenal? So the only denominations we go in now is 6 and 2, perhaps. Is that no?
Just God, me? I hope not.
That's
we
what it seems
we
like.
Forever on 2 point.
I mean, okay, Heath, when's the last time? We get a new kicker and you're like, okay, he might miss a 52 yarder, might miss a 45 yarder. They can't make an extra point consistently. Now, I mean, it's insane. I'm trying to be funny. It's
crazy. I I mean, it's gotten to the point where I there's literally no rational explanation. I mean, I don't know. If it's mental, like do kickers now know when the Saints call you, they start worrying already. Like,
right, like, oh man,
I gotta hit this extra. Nobody's been able to hit extra point. They're in the head before they even get to the team. The just, you know, yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's crazy. It's literally freaking crazy. But
did Sean Payton like piss off of a witch doctor or something? Somebody's got a voodoo doll just stabbing the shit out of it every year.
I don't know.
Wesley is Lutz the biggest loss of the Saints this year of all the injuries? Could he possibly? I'm not saying value. I'm not saying if you were drafting one guy, but as far as impact and ability to replace him,
I mean, I can clearly point to two or possibly three football games that the Saints not only in but win the game. I think there's three games that the Saints win the game if Lutz is away. The Falcons game, the Giants game, and the Tennessee game. You win that game if your kicker makes every kick. Or if you were just had the confidence to kick a 45-yard field goal when we went for it on fourth and three and stupid stuff like that. So I mean, yeah, it's directly like you can sit there and say, well, if Jameis was healthy, he might have thrown some 55-yard passes, or Michael Thomas was there, he might have had 100 receptions. 100%, you'll win two, probably three more games if Lutz is healthy.
I hate to keep. I feel like I want your expertise, Craig, but now I'm starting to be a little Onyemata. I mean, he's one. I'm like one of his biggest fans. I don't even want to be silly and say he's been non-existent, because he has. I mean, you've seen his. He's not the Onyemata that we thought. Maybe that's the best way. He's not the best version of himself right now.
Onyemata is a really good example of your favorite word from training camp, is that he's inconsistent. And that he's crazy, stupid, strong. He's, you know, a phenomenal athlete. Hasn't been playing football all that many years. So that's the excuse of, oh, he's still developing. I think he's developed, but I think he's one of those guys. He reacts and he moves, but I don't know where his head's at some of the plays. I think there's a little bit of guessing there. And a lot, if you're bigger, faster, and stronger than the guy ahead of you, and you know, okay, I know that he's going over there, so I'm going to shoot that gap, and they don't go to that gap, it doesn't matter how fast and strong you were getting there, you're still out of the play.
Right, right. Heath, Craig said, I don't care how big, strong, and fast, and I'm going to go to you and say, is he really? Is he as strong as he used to be? I mean, he was suspended because of performance enhancer. What was the definition that they used?
Yeah, I think it was performance enhancing.
Yeah, yeah. So did he just give him the Davenport? It's like, hey man, hold this for me. Hold it. I ain't had nothing.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly looks like it. Davenport certainly looks like he's taking something. But I think he's still pretty strong. I mean, he still looks like a beast. But I think Craig's got it right. He's just not as maybe his football IQ just isn't as high, so he's not consistently making those kind of plays.
I don't know.
You know, Aaron Donald, you know, is a guy who
every
not
week
supposed to be able to excel at that level, but why does he? Because he hits that right gap every time. He understands exactly what the offensive linemen are going to do, what their tendencies are, and you know, and so he has that advantage. And I guess maybe that's what Onyemata's missing.
It's really not fair either for Onyemata and his stats that he never gets to line up against Cesar Ruiz. It's really hampering his stats and like what he could possibly do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No wonder he looked great in the preseason.
Yes.
Just hurtful.
Just get him a new contract, man. He's killing it in practice. All right. So we're going to play this game. It's called Over and Under 2.5. Now, this game is not just about how good you think the JV team is. It's about how many injuries do you think the Saints how many injured players the Saints would get back. And in addition to that, their impact that they would have on the team. Because obviously without Landon Young, the Saints are going to need somebody left tackle. So I'm going to start with Heath the rest of the way out. Now, I should have broke out the schedule. We have games against the Jets, Carolina, Atlanta. What's the other winnable game? Miami. And so then we also have some games against, and I know I'm going to miss one. We
Falcons,
play Buffalo. Panthers. Well, I got those, didn't I?
Cowboys.
Cowboys and Buffalo should be the tough games. Over and under 2.5, how many more games the Saints win? You got the over or the under?
I got the under.
You got the under?
We got seven games left. I don't see this team exceeding 2-5 in those seven games. I really don't. And I say that strictly because of the team that we're fielding, the injuries that we have, and the fact that we haven't been able to beat those quote-unquote winnable games. We haven't won the winnable games up to this point. So I don't see any reason why that's going to start. You know, now you could say, well, you know, Buffalo and Dallas certainly didn't look good this week. Buffalo's had a couple of stinkers here in the last 2 to 3 weeks or whatever. But still, man, you know, the Saints are just not, we're putting a partial team on the field right now. And it's like, you know, dome, sweet dome doesn't mean anything anymore, you know? So I know we're hosting the Buffalo. Where's the Dallas game? Is it on the road or? Yeah, it's probably on the road. Huh?
Yeah. Wesley.
Over.
You going with the over? Let's hear your commentary.
Yeah. I just think that, I mean, again, like one thing he said is this has been an up and down year. Like there's been all kinds of surprises and all. I think that the terrible game that our defense played this last week isn't quite an example of how they're going to be moving forward. I think that this Thursday game scares me against the Bills, but getting Kamara back, Peyton's going to get the ball in his hand. If he's healthy, it sounds like we're definitely letting him get healthy, not pushing him. So we get Kamara back and healthy, you're going to win some games. And I know we've lost to the Panthers and Falcons this year, but they're not great teams either. I know that we're not good. They're not either. So just, you know, with the kind of schedule that we're playing, we should win half of our games.
Okay. Craig, over and under 2.5.
Over.
I knew what the answer was.
You knew what I was
last two answers. Yes.
Come on, man.
Thoughts.
Well, all right. So schedule, we're playing the Dolphins. Yeah. And it doesn't matter who we're playing because we're terrible. Yeah. I get it. But if you're going to win a game, it's going to be Dolphins. It's going to be Falcons. We got the Jets on there. Cowboys look terrible and it's on the road. Thank God, because we don't win at home anymore. Cowboys can be beat. Bills can be Thursday games. You kind of throw it out the window. There's some stat where the road team loses all the time on Thursday nights because it's that one less day practicing, getting prepared, traveling. You know, they're playing our JV guys. I want to say, you know, 4 or 5 because I'm a fan and everything, but I think the number is 3. I think we scraped 3 out of here, and that actually might be enough for a playoff spot, to be honest with you.
I'm going to go with, because I got to look at who's coming back and who's available to come back. Our best case scenario, what I'm concerned about is Kamara, you hurt your knee. I remember the season he got injured. Will he ever be the same, or not ever, but the rest of the season be the same player? So yeah, no, I'm not condemning him to a life of, I'm sorry, Craig. Craig's holding his heart right now. This season, I don't know if he'll ever be back to form. If Ingram's hurt, then quite frankly, what happened to Tony Jones Jr.? It seemed like every time he touched the ball, I mean, it wasn't even a positive play. It was just hitting the backfield. Now, that may not have been his fault. It could be coincidence, but 2 games I've seen him back. So my point is that, and then offensive line, I just don't know. We made Matt Ryan look like not just Pro Bowler, but we made it look like a Hall of Fame player. I don't know how we're going to do it. And the thing about it is the poor play of the offense is affecting the defense. I already said, I don't think after half the season, I didn't think the defense was elite. They're good. They're very good. But the offense is affecting their play. So it's just, I'm going to take the under. And I also want to throw out to Scott on Dome Patrol. I had his back. I was listening to that instant reaction and he was taking hell. And I was like, I kind of go with Scott. So I'm going to go with the under as well. And obviously I'll be there. Like I said to you guys, we can complain and all we want, but I'll be there for every snap of all these games. I just don't know how they do it. I want to say the logic in me says under, but quite frankly, I could see it. I could see them like who would be surprised if we beat Atlanta or Miami or Carolina or the Jets, but golly, it's just hard after what I saw on Sunday to imagine them beating anybody.
Is it going to hurt your feelings when Matt Ryan does go to the Hall of Fame? Because he probably is.
No. For whatever reason, I shouldn't say this. People are probably less upset with me about being negative than the saying the Falcons. I've never really Falcons, whatever. So, I've never been, I don't know.
They're putting everybody in the Hall. The Hall of Fame doesn't mean what it used to mean anyway, as far as I'm concerned. I mean,
speaking of the Falcons, Thomas Morstead just signed with the Falcons.
Can we not talk about that? It's too soon.
Too soon. All right, Wesley. Let's talk about Taysom's contract, man. He took a huge pay cut.
Huge pay cut. What a team player.
What a man. What a mighty fine man.
So we all know that Taysom was sitting on a 4-year, $140 million contract, nearly all of it guaranteed.
Guaranteed nearly, to be voided.
He decided to give us a hometown discount. And this is another example of where – the Saints and, you know, all the people that Dave doesn't care about, Kai Hartley and Loomis and all the people working behind they've always been innovative. And there's things that we've done with kicking the can down the road, which, you know, isn't doing so great for us this year. We found a new way to circumvent the salary cap and kick the can down the road a little bit. Is Taysom signed a contract that's a minimum base of 4 years and $40 million. But if he plays a certain amount of snaps at quarterback, it can elevate to a 4 year, $94 million deal. It's pretty interesting that nobody's ever seen it before.
And anybody else have some comments?
The most similar thing is what Ramchek did, which was if you're a right tackle, we're paying you this. But if you make the Pro Bowl at left tackle, you get these elevators. That was the first example of it. Obviously, this one's different because it doubles his salary.
Right, but here's the thing. Don't you have to account for that entire possible salary and salary cap?
No. So what you have to account for is what is the presumed. So like with Jameis this year, he had a $3 million base but could make up to $12 million. The only thing that hits your with those incentives, the only thing that hits your salary cap is the ones that are likely to happen. Yeah. So if we gave him a contract saying that if he throws 50% of the passes in a game, he gets $500,000. If he didn't do it the previous season, it's not assumed it will happen.
Right.
So honestly, Jameis getting hurt so early helps us this year, because next year we're going to be able to do the same incentive laden deal, and only his base salary affects the, because it's not assumed that he's going to hit any of those escalators.
So everybody's going to start having this kind of contract. Yeah, now. Just figure out what standard. Figure out what every player didn't do last year, and we'll sign him to a contract.
If you remember back in the day when we started doing the poison pill thing, that's what they were based on. It's like, let's say you got a player that hurt in game three and only scored one touchdown, but the expectation for that level of player might be 10 touchdowns. You say, hey, man, if you score more touchdowns than you did last year, and that was a poison pill because people are like, well, we can't touch that because we know he's going to score 5 or 6 touchdowns, hypothetically. So it's, you know, likely to be made. Now, the thing I have about it is, okay, let's look at it realistically. Is he a $10 million player? Now, I can look at it and say, hey, $5 million for being a playmaker, $5 million for being the backup quarterback, but so far he hasn't even been the backup quarterback, Heath.
Yeah, I said this last year. It is completely possible that I'm just out of date with what guys make in the NFL. Like, you know, nobody playing in the NFL today would be making $10 million a year if I ran the league. Okay, I'm sorry. You're playing a sport, a game or whatever, like, you know, but that being as it may, I've never seen Taysom Hill as a $10 million a year player.
Yeah. So it's interesting, Heath. So I think we were all pretty much agreed on here that going into this last season with Jameis Taysom Hill competition, we all thought Jameis should come out and win it.
Sure.
But I would have understood this contract a year ago when we were still like, you know, we only saw Taysom in 3.5 games. What do we really have? If he commits to this, will he be better? We saw that. And he lost to Jameis Winston, clearly lost. So why are we still playing this game of is he a starting quarterback, is he not?
Well,
this contract would have made sense 13 months ago,
and this
or
is,
10 months ago, I
this
guess.
This is the question I have is like, let's just say he is your backup quarterback and then gets injured. And the quarterback gets injured again like Jameis did early in the season, and he becomes your – why are you paying that much for a below-average quarterback?
Right.
You know, Craig,
I feel like we competed against ourselves here too.
I got an angle for this. This is my completely biased fan thought process that makes no sense to anyone but me, but I'm going to talk about it anyway. So he wants to be a quarterback. He said he wants to be a quarterback. We want him to do Taysom Hill stuff because he's not a great quarterback, but he wants to be a quarterback. Is it possible that we got him this really, you know, it pays him pretty good to be a weapon, but it pays him really good to be a quarterback. Is that contract in place so that he stays here and tries to be the quarterback doing the stuff that he does now, as opposed to going somewhere else and getting paid only as a quarterback? Is it kind of feeding into his ego to wanting to play quarterback?
Wesley, go ahead and answer. I kind of cut you off there. So go ahead and give your thoughts on that.
Well, I mean, no, I don't think anybody else, there's nothing he's put on tape that's getting anybody else to give him that contract either. We bid against ourselves in the middle of the season when he's not getting $20 million a year from anybody else. Like, give me a starting quarterback at 22 or 23 million is a damn good deal in this league where people are getting 45 million, but he's not a starting quarterback. And I wonder, and here's my conspiracy theory thought, is I think that this week Trevor Siemian starts against the Bills because it's on short notice. I'm predicting right now that the part of him signing this contract is we agreed to let him starting against the Cowboys, let him be our starting quarterback the rest of the year, and no matter what, and see what the hell we have again.
You have
and,
to.
Now, why not? We did it because we said, you know what, Taysom, it wasn't fair. We made you do it in Drew Brees' offense, you know, on 1 week's notice and all. You competed all year. This is your reel. You're going to 6-game stretch or whatever. Let's see what you really got. Now, having said that, why give him the contract before that 6-week tryout?
Exactly.
Instead of after.
Look, I said this before the last contract. They didn't really think he had a chance to be a quarterback when they didn't make him a full-time quarterback the last time. Stay in the quarterback room all week. Take quarterback reps all week. Go live with Drew and Brittany or whatever. You know, eat, breathe quarterback 24/7 so you got a real shot to come in next year and be quarterback. And we saw what that translated into. There was no actual competition between him and Jameis Winston for quarterback. So my thought was, at least we're finally over the Taysom might actually be a quarterback in this league thought process. Okay.
Never.
And it makes it look like absolutely, you know, that is true, because now this year he's not even starting now that Jameis Winston got hurt. Simeon is the backup quarterback. Okay. Now here comes the new contract. If you don't turn around and make him the starter for the rest of this season, you've just said again, basically, we have absolutely no confidence whatsoever that you're going to be the starting quarterback. Look, I'll tell you right now, I honestly don't believe that either the team or Taysom believes that he's going to be the future starting quarterback of this team. I think Taysom will be happy to take his 22.5 guaranteed and his potential 40 over 4 years to do what he's doing now.
I wish I believed that. My problem is I think that Sean Payton wants to feel like he's the smartest freaking guy in the league. And I still think that he thinks that it's a big pat on his back if he somehow makes Taysom freaking Hill a quarterback. And don't get me wrong, there's a lot of times this helps us out with Sean Payton being the smartest guy in the room and being innovative. There's also a few places where it screws us. And this is one of them where I think it screws us, is I think that he wants to be right and wants to be the one smartest guy in the NFL that saw this.
I'm going to make this final comment and just say, I like how you guys presented it. I agree with you. I think Trevor has done fine for what he does, but do we lose anything, especially now where we're at record-wise? Do we lose anything to find out finally, for sure? Hey, look, we know he can't read a defense, but here's the thing. Yeah, but his legs, when he hasn't shown us he can run. He doesn't run well for a quarterback. Design runs, yes. But dropping back, taking a read, and then are taking off.
Breaking containment, no.
Just simply doesn't do it. Craig, any final thoughts?
On the Taysom Hill contract?
No, situation? Just on the whole thing, buddy. We wrapping her up.
Oh, man. And I was going to tell you all about how bad the Bills are. No, I mean, if we're talking about
Taysom. That could be your final thought, man.
Even if the offense is a quarterback that doesn't scramble, but on third and short, you have that QB power, it's still useful. In my opinion, yeah, if he's healthy, he should play quarterback the rest of the year. I mean, as much as we don't think that Taysom Hill should be a starting quarterback for the Saints, I think his ceiling is higher than Trevor Siemian's.
You know, the new guys not fall in line with the way we do things around here. Go ahead. Tell us about Buffalo. We got to hear
you
it
know
now.
You know what's really going to happen? He's going to start at quarterback. He's not going to bring anything to the table as far as helping us win games. And at the same time, he's going to take away one of the few guys that can actually act as a weapon in his other role in a season devoid of weapons. And so, look.
What'd you say?
Go ahead, yeah.
Would you say, Heath, is there any guys in the draft that can go high with that rhyme with tank or
yeah, what is it? Anybody in a draft rhyme with tank or soccer or or some other?
Only us can be 500 and in a playoff spot and talking about tanking. Only us.
Okay, listen. Yeah. This is a unique position. The team that got us to that 500 record right. Is not on the field anymore.
We already have 5 wins. You're not gonna get a top draft pick. We're gonna end up right in the middle anyway.
Hey, can you just roll with it? We're trying to be funny over here. We're keeping it light, you know. Just Craig is mad and riled up. And the thing is,
I am mad as hell about it.
And he's huge. If you see this dude, he's huge. Look his wristwatch, man. It's cutting the circulation off his fingers. I mean, the dude is a
college. Just a high blood pressure.
Yeah. after that last game, I don't doubt it.
Hey, go ahead, Wesley, your final thoughts, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's important for everybody to remember this is not the Saints starting lineup. This is not it's a very many people missing, you know, top quarterbacks missing, about to maybe have two top running backs missing. Our top wide receiver, the second, the number two receiver didn't play for first half of the year. And then we're talking about, you know, for those, a couple games at the start of the year where we were talking about CJ Gardner Johnson having the biggest impact. I mean, after Lattimore was shutting his guy down, Gardner Johnson taking away somebody else and being energetic was a big deal. So, you know, and then we're all complaining about how Adam Trautman's taking one play a game that he screws us. Now him missing is a big thing that we're going to do.
No, I mentioned that. That's hilarious. Game. It's hilarious. It's
career game. Yeah. And I mean, it's a, this isn't really a fair fight. I mean, we've got one arm tied behind our back and we're fighting other professionals.
Not after that whole summer you just gave us, you're still going with the over, huh?
I still take the over. I think we are playing some bad teams the rest of the way. And I think those teams are playing a bad team as well. I think that the what we are is a very, like, probably just below average NFL team, but we're playing some pretty bad teams the rest of the way too. So,
let me say, this is not one of those scenarios
of just get in the playoffs and you never know what can happen. I think that we might end up accidentally backing into the playoffs. I ain't excited about that. We're going to go on the road somewhere and it's going to be ugly for a national audience.
We play well on the road, huh?
Yeah. Heath, what'd you say? I couldn't hear
Philadelphia, did we?
Well, he said we were playing some bad teams. Those teams are playing a bad team too.
Yeah, right.
Which one's going to be?
That comment, we're like, hey, they're professionals too. They get paid, right? Like, you, hey, we might suck, but you suck too, okay? All right. Well, that's all the show that we have for you this week. So for Heath Elson-San and Wesley Coleman, Craig Wright, and all the great shows on the Dome Patrol Network, where you get a variety of shows on one feed, the Dome Patrol main show, The Tiger's Den with Scott Greenbaum, Taking the Over with my man Billy Gunn, and the Premier League with Ben and James. I'm Dave Romero. You've been listening to the BS and Beer podcast, and we'll talk to you next week, hopefully after we get a win against Buffalo. I mean, come on, let's yay. We're out.
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back.
And that's the way it is.
Oh boy, don't waste time to tune into our podcast. Oh girl, give your time to Davey, Heath, and Thomas. We do this every week, every Wednesday. So don't miss, we do this every week, every Wednesday. So don't miss. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast, oh. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast, oh.